The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the program today, first up, I'll be talking with George Stelluto, who, along with John Orff, is artistic director of the 2011 Illinois New Music Festival, sponsored by the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. It starts in Peoria tonight and runs through Saturday for four different performances in Peoria. We'll hear about that first half of the show. And then Jason Garrett, director of the Greater Decatur Chorale, which is giving its Cooking with the Chorale concerts this weekend. Performances on Saturday and Sunday in Fairview Park in the pavilion. So hopefully the weather will be decent for that. I'm just looking ahead to see what kind of a forecast we've got. At least so far, Saturday, Sunday look pretty good. So hopefully that'll hold for your chorale concerts this weekend. It's live and local. Hope you'll stay with us. We heard the final movement of Maurice Ravel's sonata for violin and piano called Perpetual Motion, or Perpetuum Mobile, excuse me. The middle movement of that is a blues, and you will hear reference in my conversation today with George Stelluto, who is co-director, co-artistic director of the first Illinois New Music Festival, being sponsored by the Peoria Symphony Orchestra, that about the jazz influence of sorts in Ravel's sonata, which is one of the pieces on the opening program of the festival, which is actually tonight at the Grand Army of the Republic building. And we'll hear about more from George, with whom I spoke just yesterday about the festival. My guest in this portion of Live and Local is George Stelluto, who is the music director of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra, and he's also co-artistic director of the 2011 Illinois New Music Festival, which is happening in Peoria this week, Wednesday through Saturday, at a few different venues there. George, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. It's great to be back.
So having never talked to you before, I think it's now been a couple of times in not too many weeks.
That's right.
How did the Peoria Symphony season wrap up?
Oh, it was great. It was a really wonderful wonderful season ender. Everybody really liked the concerts, the programming. We had two singers out from the Juilliard School singing with the orchestra on a short piece, and they were in the school system the whole week. I think they saw about 5,000 kids over the whole week, and it was great. It was a great season ender.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. Well, the programming and some of the ancillary events sounded like very important things for the community. And now here we are with this new music festival. Is this new music festival new, or is
it? Sure is. It's the first year of the Illinois New Music Festival that the Peoria Symphony Orchestra is sponsoring.
And what made you decide to do such a thing?
Well, I love new music, and I love music of all kinds, and good music is good music. So I thought this is a great place to do a festival. There's not anything like it in the region. The nice thing about it is that the audience this year for the Peoria Symphony seemed so responsive to the new pieces that we did that I was even more encouraged to do this. One of the things that was encouraging for me is I was at a dinner a couple weeks after the first that last concert, and a gentleman in his 90s came up to me and said, "You know what I loved about your season's final concert with the Peoria Symphony Orchestra? I didn't have a single CD of anything that you were performing."
Wow.
So, you know, the fact that people like the new experiences was very encouraging to me, and that's why I'm so excited about having this new music festival.
Well, and it might seem a little new, unusual. I'm not sure if it is or not, because you so often hear that symphony orchestra audiences can sometimes stay away from concerts where that 90-year-old fellow could say what he said about.
Right, right. And, you know, we've had a lot of very good coverage about the festival, a lot of excitement and enthusiasm in the community. We just had a gentleman in the community offer to buy any college student that wants to come to the concerts to buy their tickets for them.
Wow, that's a very nice offer.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're hoping he'll get soaked for a great many tickets. How did you decide on the structure of the concerts? Each of them has a different title followed by an exclamation point, including Wednesday's concert, which is tonight, Ivory Towers, and then Inspirations, Visions, and Contrasts.
Well, the Inspirations is, you know, as you can see from the titles of so many of the pieces, there's a real spiritual and religious flavor to many of them. Song itself is very inspiring, and these composers have written things that are not just religiously inspired, but politically inspired and socially inspired. So there's a lot of different inspirations that go along with the compositions of these particular vocal works. And Visions really has to do with the last piece on the program, Oliver Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time. And then I tried to find other works around that, the idea of time that would work along with that. So, you know, Vision and Where We're Going, that was kind of a loose idea for that concert. And of course, Contrasts, well, the main contrast on the final concert is the juxtaposition of Sebastian Currier's Verge and Béla Bartók's Contrasts, which are both for the same instrumentation.
Which is
clarinet, violin, and piano.
And who's Sebastian Currier, and what are the contrasts between those pieces?
Well, Sebastian Currier is a living composer. He's born in 1959, and I just did a piece of his at Juilliard, actually. It's a wonderful multimedia piece for musicians, actor, and computer-generated graphics. It was called Night Maze, and it was a very driving rhythmic piece with lots of varied types of harmonic language and sound. It was basically a sound environment that was partly acoustic and partly electronically produced. So he's a very innovative composer, and I think the contrast with Bartók will be that Bartók, of course, is using a lot of folk ideas and different types of music idioms that he found in his lifetime, and Sebastian Currier does the same thing, but perhaps 50 years later.
And you have a world premiere on that concert as well as on at least one of the other concerts. We're talking about the Saturday evening concert for the New Music Festival called Contrast. This one is called Leviathan by your co-artistic director.
Yes, by John Orff. And he's kept it under wraps, so I'm really excited to hear it.
So you don't know anything about it other than the title.
Yeah, yeah.
And how about the new piece on Friday's concert, which is called Visions, this one by Stephen Heinemann?
Stephen is also a composer who lives in Peoria. He teaches at Bradley University, and this one is literally hot off the presses for two clarinets.
And it's simply called Duo.
Yes.
Logically enough. Yeah. And then we haven't mentioned the title of the opening concert, which is tonight, called Ivory Towers.
Yes, I kind of programmed that in the sense that, you know, Ives was we think of Ives as the, you know, father of American composition in a certain way now. He's, you know, he's certainly an icon, but he was kind of an iconoclast during his lifetime. He was kind of going against the idea of academic music. He wanted a much more, widely open expression in his music. And so there's a lot of dissonance as well as a lot of kind of mysterious and haunting harmonic language at times. He really is going for almost the psychological effect of music. You know, he wrote a piece once for... that was based on his experience at a state fair, and he heard two bands at each end of the fair playing simultaneously. And he was so intrigued by that that he wrote a piece that emulated that experience. So, you know, Ives is a real experimenter, and yet now we see him as kind of one of the towering figures of American 20th century music. But all through that concert, we have different schools of thought, if you will. Ryan Francis is a new composer, born 1981, and he just had a piece performed by the New York Philharmonic's New Music Ensemble last spring and summer. They were really fine concerts. Of course, Oliver Messiaen, the polyglot Mockingbird, is related in some way to Ryan Francis's Wind-Up Bird Preludes. And then the Maurice Ravel, we all look at Maurice Ravel as the quintessential violin, the quintessential French composer, but his violin sonata actually incorporates a lot of jazz idioms, and it's around the time, it's very shortly after the time that jazz was introduced to Europe. So here you have somebody who, of course, was schooled in certain ways as a young composer, rebelled against those kind of ivory towers, and yet even after he'd rebelled and found his own voice, he was still incorporating things that he found interesting. And both Debussy and Ravel, of course, were very influenced by other cultures. And then John Adams' road movies, of course. Everybody knows John Adams now, that knows new music, and he's become himself kind of an icon of new music, and yet he's still finding new voices. So Ivory Towers really is kind of loosely a kind of, it's not sarcastic, but it's kind of an ironic title in the sense that here you have some kind of icons of new music, yet they're also kind of, in a certain sense, rebelling against new music. So, I mean, rebelling against musical tradition, even though they themselves have become a tradition.
If the Ivory Towers program for tonight began with the idea of Ives and the violin sonata isn't on the program now, is there another piece of Ives still on it?
Yes, there's a piece called, there's actually three song transcriptions for violin and piano. One is called His Exaltation, The Things Our Fathers Loved, and Songs My Mother Taught Me, which is actually nice because that ties right into the next night's inspirations. And we don't have any Ives songs on that concert. So this is very nice. And the His Exaltation was written in 1911, and that's material was used for his second violin sonata. So that is the, if you will, the anchor of our 100 years of new music in 4 days.
Yeah, and of course, new music means so many different things. I mean, mm-hmm. it's almost a meaningless term anymore. Yes, it may be new or newer, but it doesn't say a thing about the sound, although I think earlier in the century you could maybe a little with more justification have said, well, it might be more difficult music to listen to than something that isn't new. But that's not necessarily true anymore.
Well, and I think that's what defines the last 110 years of music, if you will. All right, well, let's say 111, starting with 1900. You have a century where everything was wide open. You have some composers that were interested in kind of folk influences, some that created completely new harmonic languages, some that created completely new atonal languages. You had some composers that decided that they were going to challenge the philosophical concept of what music was to begin with. So they're using sounds and improv instruments and what they call aleatoric music, which some things that happen by chance. You have composers that have decided to use jazz and other influences and popular culture influences in their music. And throughout this, I think the desire to express the experience of living in the last century from now to back to 1911, where life has become more psychological, we're more sophisticated in understanding kind of the way our brains interact with our reality, and we take in information, and you know, there's emotional as well as intellectual sides to ourselves, and spiritual sides, and economic sides, and all of these things aren't always in harmony. These things always don't, line up in a way that, oh, okay, my life is perfect. So people can experience worry and even anguish at the same time, they may be laughing at a joke. And certainly in this century, we've seen a lot of violence and a lot of changes in a kind of mechanistic society and a desire for certain freedoms and certain heightening of our awareness. Yet at the same time, it seems like we're struggling even more with technology and the way it invades our lives. So I think there's so much that has gone on in the past century of music that composers just, they got to the end of the 19th century and they said, you know, life and what we want to say is way more complicated than the tonal system that we've been using for the past 300 years. And so just mere harmonies and melodies was not going to be sufficient. And yet, because of that, because of the breakdown of the tonal system, and it's, I won't say it's demise, because there are still composers throughout the last century that loved the normal tonal system and have composed quite successfully with it. But there were many people, like in the visual arts, that thought, boy, I just don't want to paint realistic paintings. I just don't want to depict, the usual harmonic language and use that in some kind of expressive way, because the emotions, the thoughts, and the expression that I'm getting to requires a much richer language.
I'm talking with George Stelluto, who is co-artistic director of the 2011 Illinois New Music Festival, sponsored by the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. It opens tonight at 7:30 at the Grand Army of the Republic Building in Peoria with a program called Ivory Towers. Continues tomorrow night, 7:30, same location, program called Inspirations. Friday, one called Visions at 7:30, and then on Saturday at 7:30 called Contrasts. Fridays and Saturdays performances at Trinity Lutheran Church and at St. Joseph Catholic Church, respectively. On Friday's program is a piece that George mentioned by Olivier Messiaen called The Quartet for the End of Time, for which we have an excerpt in performance by members of Chamber Music Northwest. The shortest sample of what is quite a long work by Olivier Messiaen called A Quartet for the End of Time. This is part 7 in performance by members of Chamber Music Northwest here on Live and Local. That concert, that piece in its entirety, I presume in its entirety, will be played on Friday night's concert at the Illinois New Music Festival. And we'll continue my conversation with George Stelluto about that in just a moment. Our broadcast today on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from Owens Funeral Home, located at the corner of Elman University and the historic Trevitt Mansion across from Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Owens Funeral Home, owned and operated by the Owens family since 1925, invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Looking at Thursday night's program called Inspirations, which is an all-vocal program, these composers, at least the ones I know, which is, I guess, most of them, excepting Mark Fax, are all of the sort who do generally use the tonal system, who do write fairly melodically, sometimes mm-hmm. quite melodically.
Mm-hmm.
Did you choose this program, or did the performers choose the program?
Well, John Orff and I kind of split up the programs. He took care of the vocal program. And part of that was negotiation with some of the singers, and part of it was things that he desired to hear. In the midst of that influence was my desire that we try to address as many types of music as possible from the last century, looking back, and that we try to get something from every decade of the last 100 years. So. Yeah, and I would say that these composers, what will be interesting about this, let me put it this way, is that, yes, many of them do use kind of the tonal system, but every one of them uses it in a different way. So, yes, I would say Barber is tonal, and he certainly is a composer whose music will be pleasing to the ear because it will not be completely unfamiliar, but he does bend the use of tonality to his own means. And certainly Ned Roram is that way, Aaron Copland. They all have a distinctive sound, even though we may be able to say all of them are tonal.
Well, there's certainly some beautiful music on that program.
That's absolutely
the one where I happen to know some of the songs, including one of Barber's called The Crucifixion, which is a very short song that's very powerful. Tell me about some of the performers. How many of them are members of the Peoria Symphony, and then where do the rest come from?
Well, we have Marcia Henry Liebenau. She's our concert master, and Adriana Ronson is our principal cello. David Gresham is one of our clarinetists. We also have Carol Wessler, who plays in the cello section. They are all from the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. And I brought in a couple guest artists. One of the things I love to do with festivals like this is to combine the local and the national and the international. And so I brought in a wonderful violinist, Francesca Ondereg, who's currently living in New York right now, but she's been all over the world playing. She's finishing up a doctorate at the Juilliard School. She won the concerto competition at Juilliard on the Ligeti Violin Concerto. So she's quite familiar with new music, but she's just such an intelligent musician as well as a wonderful player that I thought she would be interesting, and she's going to be doing a lot of the Carter pieces that are on the program. Trisha Park is a violinist in the Maya Quartet at the University of Iowa, and she's going to be doing the first concert with Connor Hanick, who's a pianist that I'm quite familiar with. He's played a lot of new music, but he's also a wonderful standard repertoire player, very thoughtful musician and very expressive musician, and he played a concert I think last year in New York, and the New York Times referred to him as a young Peter Serkin. So we've got the fantastic musicians from the Peoria Symphony Orchestra interacting and collaborating with musicians from out of town, and I think that that's really the best possible way to do a festival like this, because you want everybody to be enriched by the experience. So the members of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra will be enriched by working with colleagues from around the country, and the colleagues from around the country should be enriched by being here and walking away from the experience going, man, they've really got it going in Peoria.
Well, George, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. It's the 2011 Illinois New Music Festival with co-artistic directors George Toludo and John Orff. And it all starts tonight at 7:30. It's at the Grand Army of the Republic building at 7:30, called Ivory Towers. Same location for tomorrow night's concert at 7:30, a vocal program called Inspirations. Then Friday's program is at Trinity Lutheran Church in Peoria. That's called Visions. And Saturday's is called Contrasts, and it's at St. Joseph Catholic Church. You can call the Peoria Symphony Orchestra ticket line at area 309-671-1096, or I presume the Peoria Symphony website has a lot more information as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. And you can purchase tickets at the venue.
At each venue. George, thanks very much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Chances are you probably know that tune, and it's a performance here by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and it's one of the pieces that is going to be sung by the Greater Decatur Chorale this weekend at performances in Fairview Park Pavilion, Saturday and Sunday, both evenings at 6 o'clock in Decatur. With me is the director of the Greater Decatur Chorale, Jason Garrett. Thanks for coming over in this dicey weather today.
Indeed. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the invitation.
And I understand this is your first year with the chorale?
It is. It is. I signed on with them in August, and we prepared a concert that we gave in January, and then jumped right into preparations for the upcoming concert this weekend.
And where were you before this? What were you doing before this?
Well, I've always been in the Decatur area. I grew up in Mount Zion, went through the Mount Zion schools, and then went off to Olivet Nazarene University and did my undergrad up there. So I was gone for 5 years there and then came back, and I've done church music for about the last 10 years and went down to Eastern to do a master's. And after I completed that, then there was an opening with the chorale, and as fate would have it, that's where I've landed at this point.
You actually sound like you could be from somewhere farther south than
yes,
we are.
Yes, it's genetic, but I'm not sure where it came from. My family's been in Mount Zion for several generations. So
really? Wow. Mm-hmm. So, well, welcome to the chorale.
Well, thank you.
Who was there before you, director?
Actually, they've had an incredible a line of talented directors. Mike Engelhart was my immediate predecessor. He's at Millikan now, teaching there. Ted Hesse, before him, who's also at Millikan. Chris Thomas, before him, I believe, and he's out. I believe he's in Arizona now, finishing a doctorate, I believe. And so they've had a lot of talented directors. I've got pretty big shoes to step into. So
well, and it seems like it helps to launch people other places in case you have that ambition.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So tell me about the chorale. It's part of the Park District?
It is. It is. They are just folks, and that is one of the most refreshing things about the group, I think. It's, you know, your standard community group, and it's just people that get together and love to make music together in their spare time. We rehearse for a couple hours every Monday night, and put together two concerts a year. It has its challenges because we're all doing life together, you know, and so we have people that come and go. I'm sure you've experienced it in different groups that you've worked with, that, you know, you have people that have to take time off because of different things that are happening in their lives. And so we've got a little bit of turnover here and there, but I believe it was 2 years ago, celebrated their 25th anniversary, and had, I believe there's either 8 or 10 charter members, and then there's a very high percentage that have been in 15 years or more. And so once people are in, they tend to stay with it. It's a good group, and they're a lot of fun. They're just a lot of fun.
How big a group?
Right now we're running about... Right at 70.
So that's a nice size. Have you been around Decatur most of your life? Have you ever sung in the group yourself?
I have not. I was involved in music at my church and through school, but I before going off on my undergrad, I really wasn't overly musically involved. And So
what got you involved in music if you weren't musically involved?
Well, I shouldn't say I wasn't musically involved. I wasn't overly musically involved. I sang at church, and I did some musicals at school, was in choir at school, but that was pretty much the extent of it. And so I went to Olivet as a piano major, and then switched to church music with a voice emphasis once I got there. And that kind of changed things. I got more involved in choral music and loved it. Really loved choral music. I still play the piano a bit, and I enjoy it, but choral music is where my passion lies, I think.
Is that what you were doing then when you went down to Eastern?
Yes.
In the choral program?
Mm-hmm.
And did they have a particular church music focus there, or was it lots of other things at Eastern?
No, it was kind of a dual focus choral orchestral, and that was really not my desire going in there, but it was just kind of the way the program was built, and I'm so glad that it was that way and that I did not get my choice of doing strictly choral music, because it gave me the opportunity to work with some great people, Milt Allen, Dr. Richard Robert Rossi, and work with instrumentalists, which is something that I hadn't done a lot, really too much at all. And that it kind of gave me a little bit of experience speaking their language and being able to really know how to rehearse an orchestra and rehearse a band and being able to talk to them where they can halfway understand what I'm trying to say, and which is a challenge for me most of the time anyway.
I can sympathize with that right there. Sometimes I open up the microphone here on this show where my job is to talk, and I wonder, how did I get this job? I can't even say anything today. Well, I think that I've heard this from many people who are primarily instrumental conductors, that they can, if not be quite intimidated working with choirs, they at least find it a new language, to use your term, and the other way around. Somebody who is like yourself, where you're mostly working with voices, and all of a sudden, what do I do with instruments? And it really is a new way of talking to your musicians. And I've also found, I don't know if you found this in your experience so far, that you get different things back from instrumentalists in a group versus a choir in a group.
Absolutely.
Where, at least to me, the choir members tend to be much more communicative. And if you say something to them, you're going to get a response. Whereas if you say something to somebody in an instrumental group, you may not have any idea if they've even heard what you said.
It's true. And I've wondered, personally, I've wondered often if it's not because for a choir, the voice is their instrument. And so that's what they have to give back. And so that's kind of automatically the return.
And maybe a little more emotional involvement from them. Because it's their body.
Right.
Making the music. So what have you found, how have you found digging in with the Greater Decatur Chorale? Have they absorbed you comfortably?
Oh, yes. They have been very accepting, very loving. It was incredible. When I started with them in August, my wife and I were expecting our second child literally any day. And our first rehearsal, I got to our first rehearsal, and there was the largest pile of diapers. Just boxes and boxes and boxes of diapers that the chorale had gotten together and gifted to us. And I literally had to cram the car completely full in order to get home. And just within the last couple of weeks, Benjamin, our second, he's now 8 months old. And just in the last couple of weeks, we bought our first diaper.
Diapers can be expensive, can't they?
Yes. And it was such an incredible gift and such a wonderful show of acceptance to someone that they didn't even know. You know, there wasn't a relationship there. And from that point we just began to forge this relationship together, and I won't say that it's been perfect, you know. It is. It's just that. It's a relationship. And, you know, the group has to get to know the director, and the director has to get to know the group. And we have to learn how to listen to each other and how to understand what's really being said, really being communicated, sometimes even in contrast to what we're hearing. And so...
Do you have any examples of that?
Well, for instance, I tend to be sometimes I try to be careful about it, but sometimes I'm a little sarcastic. I'm a little flippant and off the cuff, you know, about things. And I think that a lot of times I especially now I have to be careful because with that relationship developing, people don't always know how to take me, and. And the last thing I would want to do is offend anyone in the group, and you know, create struggle and hardship or division of any kind within the group. And so I have to be very careful of that. And likewise, I've had to. They're a very fun loving group, and They like to joke, and they like to play with you a little bit. And going into that, you know, we can't, as directors, I don't think we can necessarily wear our feelings on our sleeve. You know, we gotta, and we can't take ourselves too seriously. You know, we just, and that's, and I think that's one of the strongest points of the chorale is that we're there to enjoy music and have fun, and we work hard, but we have a good time doing it.
And you can hear, audiences can hear the product of that work. You have two opportunities this weekend. We're talking with Jason Garrett, who's director of the Greater Decatur Chorale. And the concert's called Cooking with the Chorale on Saturday and Sunday at 6 o'clock in the Fairview Park Pavilion in Decatur. And it's called Cooking with the Chorale because, I guess, grill out?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a summer kickoff. There will be hot grills available for people to come and cook. They'll be available at 5 o'clock. Being where we are in central Illinois, weather-wise, temperature-wise, sometimes we're cooking and sometimes we're not. Hopefully it won't be too miserable this weekend.
I'm actually looking at the forecast here. Saturday, Sunday looks like some clouds, no precipitation forecast so far. High on Saturday, almost 80, and mid-80s on Sunday.
See, that's perfect. That's perfect.
That sounds good to me.
As long as we're not, 90 or above.
And it's a free concert.
It is. It is free. And Fairview Park, I don't know if you've ever been down there. It's a beautiful park, pretty spacious. And so it'll be a great place if people want to come out and just kind of make an afternoon of things.
I actually have driven by it a few times lately. I had never seen it before. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you can go out and join the chorale. Here's a sample of another of the pieces. It's on the program. Very traditional song, America the Beautiful. And is it a particularly patriotic program, or does this one happen to be in a patriotic section? Or?
Well, the program is we're taking a little bit of a road trip around the United States. And so this is kind of an all-encompassing beginning to the program. Just an overview of America, and then away we go.
And we'll hear, we probably don't know what ensemble we're hearing.
I'm not sure. Rangers Mark Hayes, so it may be a familiar arrangement.
And we'll find out. Let's give a listen. And this is the arrangement that you're doing?
Yes.
With the chorale. All right. We're on Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
Self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
America! We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
America!
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
That one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
America!
Shine is
a sample of a familiar patriotic tune that will be, well, I guess is going to open the concerts this weekend by the Greater Decatur Chorale, Saturday and Sunday at 6 o'clock in the Fairview Park Pavilion. And on Live and Local with us is Jason Garrett in his first year as director of the group. And, of course, we heard in that arrangement some instrumentalists. Do we have such people on your concert?
We do. We do. Actually, we have more than at our winter concert because we have a couple of special guests joining us. Saturday evening, the Decatur Park Singers will be joining us, and so we get the privilege of using their band and their instrumentalists for this concert, and then Sunday evening the Young Park Singers will be joining us as well, and so so that's where we get. Get the instrumentalists from.
They're very convenient, I was going to say, and very helpful. Will they be joining you just for certain tunes that have the instruments or for the whole program?
They will join us for a closing tune, but then they will have each have a segment of the concert for their own, kind of a debut. They've been rehearsing in earnest for the last little while and getting ready to kick off their rigorous summer schedule.
And I understand it is quite rigorous. I haven't heard them, although I've talked with the director a couple of times, I think, since we've started Live and Local. And it sounds like a kind of a show choir. So a little dancing and...
And I got a little preview just the other night. I happened to get to the Arts and Recreation Center a little bit early and caught the tail end of their rehearsal. And I have to say, they're looking and sounding pretty good.
So when do you rehearse with them? You got just a couple of days.
We start teching on Thursday evening. We'll rehearse Thursday evening and Friday evening out at the park, and then we'll be ready to roll on Saturday.
Well, it sounds like a fun program.
It really is. It really is. It's a lot lighter than our winter concert. It's just kind of more light, fun music. Not so much. We did several more serious choral pieces at the winter concert, some Randall Thompson, Moses Hogan, that, you know, but this is a little bit lighter, and
I think outdoor concerts lend themselves to lighter fare.
Yes indeed.
Well, we'll hear another sample in just a minute. I do want to run down quickly some at least a few other events that you can go out and see and hear live in our area, including tonight a concert by the Sangamon Valley Community Orchestra at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. That starts at 7:30. Mean Lids are at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. And the Sugar Prophets playing blues at DR Diggers in Champaign tonight at 9:30. It's the Will Anderson Quartet at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 7. And, in fact, Sugar Prophets also playing tomorrow night at 10 o'clock at night at Co-Fusion in Champaign, just in case you miss them tonight. Ryan Groff is playing at Mike and Molly's solo in Champaign. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And then looking ahead to Friday, the group called the Brothers Burn Mountain, playing Americana and Roots music at Memphis on Main in Champaign. That's at 6 o'clock, and they're going to be on our show playing live on Friday. So that should be fun on Friday's show. And we're still working on tomorrow's Live and Local, so I'm not quite sure who we're going to have yet on tomorrow during the noon hour. Pete Sander plays acoustic music at Cafe Andiamo in Springfield. That's Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. Lots of other things going on as well, and we'll try to mention some more on Thursday and Friday. Our program today is made possible with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the series collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar, and more information is available at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYNL-FM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Jason, I want to say thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you again. Thank you again for the invitation to come over.
And I'm sure this will be a nice culmination to your first season with the Greater Decatur Chorale.
It's been quite a ride, but it's been a lot of fun.
And we've got a sample of one of the other pieces on your program. Mm-hmm. You want to mention that?
Yeah, it. I've been everywhere. Probably most familiar as Johnny Cash tune, but and it's maybe one of our most challenging, and it'll be obvious why.
It'll be obvious why. Okay, well, let's get at least a few minutes into it. Jason Decatur, yeah, Jason Garrett of the Greater Decatur Chorale. They're performing Saturday and Sunday night, 6 o'clock, at Fairview Park Pavilion, number 1 in Decatur. And this is Live and Local.
I was toting my pack along a dusty Winnemucca road. When along came a semi with a high canvas covered load.
If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride.
So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land.
I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Cross the desert fair, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota,
Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota,
Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma,
Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma,
Taylor,
Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texarkana, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallahassee, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Tuscaloosa, Tennessee, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, for Pete's sake.
I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
Nebraska, Alaska, Oklahoma.